Welcome to this episode of Games UX. Today we're going to be talking about Player Unknown Battlegrounds, which is a battle royale style game. It's currently on Steam in early access, but there's a lot to talk about, and I've got a few people here today with me who have been playing it a lot as well. We've been playing it together. I'd like to introduce you first to Michael Schultz. Say hi, Michael.
Hey, what's up, Charlie?
And we also have a new guest to Games UX, Klein Matschke. How are you today?
I'm doing well. First time caller, long time listener.
Klein and I know each other. We used to work together at Electric Pulp back in the day. And that is where we first met. But since then, we have become incredibly close through the internet.
best friends, I'd say. Best friends.
I would say that's the perfect way to describe it. So... Okay, I want to talk about the user interface of this game first, because it comes down to maybe like two or three things total. Number one, the only thing you really have to do when you start the game is click a big button that says ready.
A big button that doesn't always work.
Right. This is like the most frustrating thing to me, because I've never seen someone successfully start the game the first time they've played it. Has anyone had this experience?
Yeah, it's like super awkward. I mean, I was actually thinking, I was trying to imagine the button as you were talking about it right then, and I went into the game and kind of looked at that first experience screen, and yeah, just there's this huge section at the top left that kind of looks like a banner that would normally say beta or something like that, maybe in a game that's like, you know, not launched yet, similar to this game.
Buy some drug.
Yeah, totally. And this says play, and it's like all shiny, has like an animation running through it, and it says play Battlegrounds. And so like if you do mouse over that, the word Battlegrounds goes away, and it just says play, click to ready. Mm-hmm. And it's very confusing. It's like, it literally, I've also brought up that drop down many times and then gone down to the bottom and hit custom match, because I feel like maybe that's what I'm supposed to do after you select like what region and what type of game you want to enter in. Normally the button's at the bottom, not the top. So it's just an all around confusing UI.
I'm going to dwell on this button a little more. It's also like after you tap it, now I want to play. So I hit play, and now it says ready, but it says waiting. So like when you're in a group, everyone has to click that play button together, but it says ready. So if you're like not thinking or sitting there, you're like, wait, did I click it? It says ready. Is that like I click it to ready? Like I want to play?
Right.
Every time gets me. But
I don't. They also show you like if you are playing with friends, like teammates. You know, you can play in a solo game. You can play in teams of two, which is duos, or you can play in a squad, which is teams up to four. You can actually solo queue for squad if you want to, or you can,
which is frightening.
Yeah, I saw some streamers doing it the other day. It was pretty intense. Like they were doing it just to get better. They were just going 1v4 solo games.
It's tough.
Pretty nuts. But then again, that same streamer I saw doing that like took out like two or three squads by himself. So a little bit more skillful than we are, I'd say.
Okay. So then like actually getting a team together, that's like in the bottom left hand corner, you like pull up this menu and you could like invite people to your party or whatever. I also find it weird that you have to like constantly reopen this menu to see like who's actually in and like what their status is for being ready to play. They have plenty of like screen real estate here to work with. There's like literally nothing else going on. It's weird that it's like a drawer.
There's definitely nothing else important on the screen. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to bitch about that because that's like, like that's the user interface essentially. And clearly not a lot of like hardcore effort has gone into that part of the game. Yeah, maybe like one other little thing is like, yeah, I didn't notice it probably the first few times I played, but like when you start a squad, there's like that matching with strangers checkbox, which is like very subtle for having such like a large impact on your gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, and one more. Okay. And okay.
No, you know what? Let's dive into it a little bit more. Let's dive into it a little bit more.
No. It's like, got to say these things. Maybe someone's listening. Okay, and then this one is, I want to talk about it before we talk about the game, but I have to describe something in the game first to explain it. There's some audio settings, and one of the, I think, key audio settings to the game is whether your voice is like, whether you other people can hear you that are not in your like party or your team, versus whether you are just siloed to like the communication within your team.
Yeah, I mean, one of the first things I changed in the settings is when you drop into a game, I think, this is what you're alluding to. It's like talking about how the game works a little bit. Once you hit that play button and it matches you with 100 other people, it drops you into like a waiting area for about 60 seconds so that you can make sure everybody actually loads into the game and probably does some stuff server side to connect everyone correctly, and then before the actual game starts. And during that time, everybody, all 100 players, are all placed in the same area of the map, and you can hear everybody at the same time if you don't have that voice setting set to like team only. And by default it's not, so you have this open voice channel, and there's some great and some not so great things that are being said in that voice channel.
It's like a YouTube comments lobby is what it is.
I would love to know one great thing you've heard in there.
I've had a couple of like decent experiences when I very first played the game, and I got on pretty early, so I think I was there with a lot of people who were like genuinely interested in the game and like had enough money to like pay for it right away before having to go ask their parents first and things like that. So I don't know, just like cool people that are like gamers and wanted to play a game and wanted to learn the game too. Now that people know how the game is played and have played it a lot, you're not trying to like ask people for advice and things like that. But I've met a couple people in that lobby that have been funny or enlightening in some way.
Okay,
or,
I believe you. Here's one question about that setting. So if I do have my audio on where I can hear other people and I can be heard, is this like a pretty big change for the gameplay itself, right? Like that's like a extreme like dynamic change in the actual game. Like if I heard someone talking and what they were about to do to me or what they thought or like what they wanted me to think they were about to do to me because they could like yell it out. I've never played with this setting on. Have you played with this setting on? And like,
so I do, and it's very rare that you come across somebody who's using open mics. Usually the people that are playing together are doing what we do and have a Discord server that they chat to each other on that way. But there have been a few times where I've heard people who will say that they're coming up because it's proximity audio at that point. If they're not using the team channel, then they're just using the wideband. They use it. You could also use it for distraction. I mean, you could use it to say, all right, we're going to move a flank left or something, and then you could go right, trick the person.
So yeah, like that's what I'm so interested about. Like, I think that I would love this setting because like maybe my gameplay skill isn't the best in shooting, but I think I could totally psych people out by lying to them.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Or maybe, singing them some songs, like, impersonating other people.
There's a lot that could be done with that. Maybe I'll explore that eventually. Okay, we got our work out of the way. We've gotten the nasty thing done. Let's talk about this actual game. So this was my first game ever playing that was Battle Royale. It is so simple. I think we should explain it for anyone who like hasn't played it before. The game map is initiated. There are 100 players on the map. If you're playing solo, you're all independent. If you're playing in duos, it's teams of two, and squads are teams of three and four. So this is divided up that way. You start on a plane. The plane has everyone in it, and it travels across the map in a random direction. You have to choose a position to land, probably with your team, using like a pin on a map. You go to land to that area. You may encounter violence. You may not right away, but you begin the looting game. And the looting game is where you try to gather equipment because you have no equipment to start. You work for a period of time gathering equipment, and then the circles begin. Circles close in the map to a random point, and each time a circle comes in, it's the same size. The circles shrink the same size, but they are always to a random location within the circle before it. And it just shrinks the map until it becomes like a confrontation at the end, and you basically have to compete with everyone else. If you're outside of those circles, you lose health, and you will die if you stay outside of the circle. That's the game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
And as the circles close in, the smaller they get, the more the outside the circle hurts.
Right. Yeah. It's a shooter, but it's kind of a hybrid shooter. It's a third person mostly, but you can right click in to go into first person mode. So it's one of the only. I mean, there's not a whole ton of games that do this, but and it's definitely one of the only competitive games I know that does this kind of third person to first person switching on the fly. But it makes for a really fun game in my mind.
They're starting to do, or I think the next patch that comes out, they're going to have the ability for servers to be first person only, which is
first person only, right?
Not something I want to do.
I don't think so either. I know a lot of the streamers and hardcore players really want this because with third person, you can kind of you can do things with your character, like lay down on the top of a roof and look over the roof without anybody else being able to see you. And a lot of those like really hardcore players who are really, really talented at the game, you know, hate that aspect of it, in that they do it, sure, but they hate when it happens to them because you feel like you're at such a disadvantage. You know, somebody saw you coming from a mile away and you just had no idea they were there. So yeah, the first person will make that a lot harder because you'll have to get up and actually look over, you know, a ridge of a roof or, you know, a rock or something like that. You'll have to actually put your character in harm's way.
The game is already too anxiety inducing for me. So putting it in a frame where I can't like look over my shoulder or peek over a ledge, I can't. I don't know that I could handle that.
Yep, I hear you. I also just like, I play tons of first person shooters. I think it's really cool that this is a hybrid.
Yeah.
Yeah, my first impression was like, wow, I actually have just a lot of control here, right? Like I can go into that first person mode when I'm like tucked in a corner and feel like, oh, this is the best way to see like what's happening. I can switch to the third person. I'm usually in the third person view because it gives me extra advantages of viewing. But the robustness of other ways I can like view things and stuff is pretty cool. So there's like the I don't know what it's called, but where you sort of like side shuffle, like you lean to the side or whatever around trees, like the Q&E keys. That's really cool. Like there's the prone position, the crouch position, standing position. That's about it as far as position.
Yeah, you can also like you can run unlimited sprint ability, which is pretty cool. You can also like holding the shift key helps you move faster in other ways too. Like if you're crouched, you can actually hold shift and move a little bit faster crouched. Or even like proning, you can actually hold shift and move slightly faster. But what's cool is you can actually use control to move slower too. So there's like also that aspect of it, and you can move slower in all those different positions as well.
I know what I was thinking about, the alt key. This is like the biggest thing to me, because I don't think I've ever played a game with the alt key that worked like this, where I can be running one direction or focusing some direction with my gun, but then with the alt key I can actually secondary look like another direction.
Yeah, it's huge. I want to do it in every game now. I was playing Overwatch the other day and I was like, oh, I gotta look behind me, but I don't want to want to keep running this direction, I don't want to turn around.
Is that in a lot of other games? I feel like I've never encountered it before.
It's definitely in the games that this game spawned from. Like it's in DayZ, it's in Orma. I don't know if it's any other ones that I can think of. But yeah, it definitely was in those two games. The Orma series, Orma 2 specifically, where DayZ spawned from, and DayZ itself has it as well. Does H1Z1 or any of the other Battle Royales game have
it? Oh, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm sure they work the same way. It's a really smart feature. I mean, it's like, I don't know, if you're real life, you can run in one direction and look behind you, you know? But in these other first-person games, and even some third-person games, it's like you have to turn your whole body around to look, which doesn't really make sense. Humans have almost 180 degree, so...
I think, like, two more things I forgot about in the main concept is there's, like, a care package that drops occasionally. Like, another plane will come over. It will make a ton of noise, so you can't really, like, hear what's happening, like, locally. Like, someone has more chance of sneaking during that time. And then a care package is dropped, which, like, draws a tension of a lot of players, so it creates like a mini game where like you could potentially try to snipe the people who are like getting the care package, or just go for it yourself, or get in and out or whatever. So there's like that game, which draws like these, like it stirs up the battleground because it causes like these micro sort of moments where people are accumulating. But then there's also red zones, which are the opposite. And these are circles that happen within the circle that you're supposed to be in, which wants you to get out because they bomb the whole area, right?
Yeah,
right.
I think those three things, the circles, the bombs, and the care packages make this game like infinitely more fun than it would be otherwise, because they all really push you to do something that you might not want to do.
Yeah, exactly that.
It's amazing because it's like, it's not as hectic. It could be like too hectic, right? That's like one balance point where it's like, oh, you got to always like be moving or doing something. You don't feel like that, but you never feel like you can camp either, right? Like
exactly, yeah. Maybe for a minute or two, you know, but it's like, as soon as you start camping in a house for a few minutes, and you're you're kind of waiting maybe for some people to go by you that you know are nearby, or you're waiting for people to come loot your house so you can kill them and take their loot or something. It's like, oh no, now there's a red zone on us, and oh shoot, the circle's coming, and so we got to get out of here, and we better leave now, because if we don't leave now, these bombs are going to hit, and then we have to wait for this. It's like, it's all about timing. The whole game is about position and timing, more so than being able to shoot other people, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I think you can get by a lot better in this game with knowing your surroundings and keeping an eye on the circle that's coming in on you. Like, that's way more important to gameplay and survivability than being able to shoot somebody.
Yep.
Yeah, that's another thing. So this is a game where you can make it to the last couple people and never have killed anyone to that point. You probably have to kill someone.
Or maybe never even see somebody.
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten chicken dinner with not having shot anybody before.
Like, you could win the game without actually shooting someone. And I love that part of it, because like, it feels like really engaging strategy the whole time.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, some people don't like it. Of course, it depends on your play style, right? But some people don't like to play that way, the kind of the pacifists mm-hmm. Way of playing, but I mean, it's totally like a legitimate way to play the game. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't get upset with somebody who like went through the whole game and didn't see a person and never got a kill and still won. Like, that means they were just in the right place at the right time. I mean, they were working hard to make sure nobody saw them, right? Like, I think that's totally a legitimate way to play. I like to play a little bit more aggressive than that personally, but there's definitely been games, especially early on, where I very much tried to just stay away from people at all costs.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's like the arc of the player for this game, is that you totally start out very conservative, you wait until the end of the map, and then you jump out and you work your way back. Mm-hmm. Whereas like now, since I've been playing it for, I think I'm at 178 hours right now, which is insane.
Nice trick.
Achievement unlocked.
Yeah. I think Michael's got me beat there. But to go from that, and then now I'm just like, all right, let's drop in the most populated city. Like,
yeah, let's just go. Let's get in a fight.
One of the things I like about this game, in DayZ, you would spend, you know, in the old days, you could spend an entire weekend developing a character because it's a one life situation. And once you die, you lose all your stuff. And in those games, it was very hard to keep up with your friends. Like, you'd have to drive across the entire map to meet up with somebody because you spawn in a very far away place. You lose a lot when you die in those games. In this game, it's so, like, you put some effort into it, but it's okay if you die. Like, you're not like upset and you don't throw a fit because you wasted 4 hours or something. It's a 30 minute max, maybe 45 maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nothing. Like, it's a lot more easy to dive in, lose, and get right back on the horse.
Totally.
Not to, like, I mean, along the same lines, I guess, the longer you stay in the game, the better you feel, even if you don't really do anything. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't see anybody, it's still like, oh man, I made it to the top 10. It's like, okay, cool. Like, it doesn't feel like a waste of time because you made progress, even though you maybe didn't, you know, necessarily like get in fights and like, you know, attack some other people and steal their loot or like get any kills, but you still feel like you've made progress, which is like a really interesting thing. You kind of don't, it's not intuitive that it would feel that way, but it totally does.
This is one point I really wanted to hit on, which is like, what is the psychology of the game? Like, I keep playing it and I keep feeling really engaged with the idea of mm-hmm. like winning, but after a round ends, it's like I never feel necessary. If I get four right or something, like, I'm like, did I win, did I lose? Like, I think I probably mostly won. Like, I didn't lose exactly. Like, I did pretty good.
I didn't die first, and
I justify it no matter how the game ends. So like, if I do go out first, I'm like, oh, totally unlucky, didn't get a gun, and like I jumped where a bunch of people. Like, it's like, that's not a loss either necessarily. Like, it was just a bad break.
Yeah, totally. And then when you make it to fourth place, you're like, holy crap, you know, I beat 96 other people. Like, that's an achievement. You know? It's kind of crazy that's the big thing. There's 100 people in these games. That's wild.
Yeah. It's very easy to blame your mistakes and shortfalls on the random number generator. Like, it's like very easy for you to be like, oh, well, yeah, the circle, it was a bad circle. That's why we lost. Bad circle. Yep. Or there was no ammo that spawned in this area. That's why it was bad circle.
There are a lot of things in the game that just are totally random every single game. And so it feels like, you know what it is? This, what PUBG is, I just realized this, is a multiplayer roguelike game is what it is. Like, things spawn randomly. The map is the same all the time, but things spawn randomly within that map. And, you know, every situation is different. Like, every single encounter you have is slightly different. Or sometimes massively.
Your character
different.
Improves over time, though.
Yeah, your character doesn't improve over time. That's true. But I mean,
the player does.
The player, yeah, exactly. You as the player, you know, the more you experience, the better you get at the game. So I don't know. It's kind of like kind of a multiplayer roguelike in a lot of ways.
Okay, so right now there's one map. It has different views, and sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's sunset or whatever. But there's one map, and we've talked about this before, Michael, I remember, but like, I think this map is like really perfect. Like, I've never in a spot on the map where it feels broken. Do you guys agree with that?
No, 100%. Yeah. They definitely, it felt early on like they didn't put a lot of work into it. Like, it feels very, like all the buildings are very default. A lot of buildings are like the same exact building. So you can fly to one side of the map and land on a building, and it's the same exact building that's on the other side of the map, right? The layout of the building is exactly the same. The colors might be different, things like that. But once you start to play it, I mean, and the real world is like this. There's buildings that are, you know, exactly specced out exactly like other buildings, and the layout's exactly the same. Once you start to play it and you start to know the map, I mean, I feel like I know the island of wherever this is supposed to be better than I know my own city, you know? Like, I know where, like, the little towns are, and I know what buildings kind of
have. Yeah, you've got slang for it in-game that you have probably that you assign to things in real life as well. But, like, you can say, you know, let's go to, I don't know, we have one that we call Kenan's Landing because we have a friend named Kenan who lands there all the time. Like, that's his spot to go to. So we just, it's the vernacular now that if we're going to Kenan's Landing, we know exactly where it is. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the buildings themselves are the weakest part because there's just so many, like, reused assets and it doesn't feel very fresh, and, like, they're often the same structures. That being said, like, actually, as I was playing today, I had the feeling where I was like, oh, it's kind of nice, though, because now that I know all the different building archetypes, it's like when I go into one, I'm like, oh, this is the one that's like that, and you remember it, and
you know exactly where every door is, right? You know exactly which rooms to check, exactly which doors to go in. Totally. And I still feel like I'm on a different part of the map, and I don't know, it still feels kind of unique, but I like that part of it too. I think at first I was like, oh, this is weird, they're all the same, this is kind of lame, but it's like, no, this is great. When I go in a building, I know exactly where I need to go, and it makes it feel comfortable.
Let's talk about the looting game, because this is like actually the first probably 10 to 15 minutes of a game, like basically like half the game in a lot of cases, you're actually mostly just scouring, trying to get stuff. And it always feels like frantic to me. I'm very invested in the looting game now. And I start to make up things in my mind of how it works, even though it's probably not true. Like, I believe like the better equipment usually is on the second or third floor. I don't know if that's true. I've gotten good guns on the first floor, but in my mind, sometimes like I jump to the second floor right away now just to like
there are definitely rooms in houses that I go to first, for sure. Like, I'll skip one of the rooms on the first floor because I know that most of the time there's not something good in there. Or, like, for me, it hasn't been, you know, there's
but not. But it's not true. It, like,
it's definitely like, random. It feels like it's a superstition. That's all it is. Yeah. Like, you go into the house, you know that, oh, my room is that bathroom on the third floor. That always has something good for me. It's not the case, but boy, does it help out when you get that AK-47 in there.
Yeah, that military vest, that military helmet.
But how did they make looting fun too? I mean, the actual physical mechanic of looting is really pretty awful. Like, the default way to do it is like you're looking down half the time at the floor, tapping the F button like repeatedly. But it's really good, I guess, mainly because I guess you're constantly thinking about what equipment you already have, what you need, what you don't need. You don't have like a lot of storage to start. So until you get a backpack, you got to be like really careful about like what you're picking up.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple of different ways to play it. I'm one of those people that I would label as like a collector. Like, I go through and I grab everything off the floor, and then I will, as I'm running somewhere else, I will sort through it and drop it as I'm running. Like, if it's something that I didn't need, I'll just drop it. But I tend to grab everything because it's easier to, I feel more spatially aware when I'm doing the F grab instead of the other option, which is to hit tab and drag it to your inventory,
right.
Which I know is faster, but I feel more spatially aware when I don't have the menu up in my face.
I only use like the tab option where I'm like manipulating stuff back and forth when there's basically like someone else's box or like someone is handing me something specifically. Because yeah, the F thing, it's like when I'm running into the rooms, I can't imagine like constantly dropping the tab and like over. But it is interesting like how you can trade out stuff amongst your team. So there's a constant communication amongst the team who has what. And I may have no bandages, but we're going to get into conflict, or we're in the blue. Does someone have bandages? And you have to constantly sort of know everyone's sort of equipment situation. Like the most common question I hear is, are you like kitted out yet? Like, are we good? Are we like good to proceed into the second part of the game?
Totally. Do you have meds? Do you have, everybody has an AR, right? Everybody has an assault
AR
rifle.
AR is the big thing.
It's a big question. You know, it's definitely, the assault rifles are the best guns to have in the game. And kind of the default weapon that everybody should have. And so you really don't want to move, like you said, to that second part of the game where you actually like get in fights with other teams until everybody has an AR at least, right? The looting game is pretty interesting. I think it changes for people over time too. It's one of those other things like we were talking about before, how you kind of start off the game when you play for the first time and you try to be really passive and you loot a lot and then you try to get to a really good position on the map and just make it to the end, where later you get a gun and then you go fight somebody right away. It's like you don't try to stay away so much. You kind of like, oh, you know what, I only have a shotgun, but like, let's go, whatever,
let's do it.
we'll kill somebody else and we'll take their stuff, you know, because that's the other cool thing is like once you kill another person in the game, they drop all their loot and you can loot them. And if you kill somebody 10 minutes into the game, it's probably a good chance that they've got some loot on them, especially if you kill a whole other squad of four people. It's like, there's probably going to be some good stuff. So I think, you know, we've all kind of learned, like, as we've played more, it may be better to kind of loot a little less at the beginning, feel comfortable, let most of your team get some good weapons. But if everybody, you know, if we just can't find that last assault rifle, like, we should probably just move and get a better position first anyway. Maybe we'll run into some people along the way, kind of sneak up on them while they're still looting early on, because some people take so long to loot at the beginning. it's easy to sneak up on them once in a while. They kind of don't see you coming.
Okay, so another thing I find, I basically am kind of bad at this one still, so I'm looking for advice.
Okay.
The compass system. So often people are like, oh, they're at 330. And these are all, you know, the degrees of a compass, but they may be kind of far from me. So I'm trying to predict by how far away they are, what number on the compass they're actually talking about the enemy being at.
Right, because everybody has their individual compass. And so when I say 330, if I'm at, you know, 50 meters to your left, Charlie, my 330 is going to be way different than your 330. Right.
So it's always better to give cardinal directions instead of the 330. I mean, you can narrow down. So, and I'll get into this because this bothers me a lot when I play with people. Shack tack, I think, is what it's called, but it's where you, like, it's the order of which you describe contact. Like, you start out by alerting, you say contact, then you say which direction it's from, which is the cardinal direction, so you contact northeast, and then you describe it. So you say contact northeast, two guys. So that gives your the person you're playing with the time to turn, turn and figure out where you're talking about, and you can then the fourth step is expound, I think is what they call it, but it's where you say they're running right at us, or they've spotted us, or they're shooting at us, or they've got, that's when you add extra details. But you start out with those basics of, there's somebody, and there's somebody over here, and this is how many of them there are.
Yeah,
this is something really everyone should know. Like, that's like excellent, right? Because that's what I was trying to get at. Like, I, instead of frantically being like, I don't know, like 240, like, I don't know, there's like two guys, I don't know, like, you're saying, like, it'd be cool to just be like north, 240, two guys shooting or something.
Right.
That feels really meticulous. And if you could get everyone doing that together, I think it would feel more orderly. But there is one more element for like this sort of directional stuff, which is the map has a series of like letters and numbers on it to describe a grid.
Grids is 100 meters.
Okay.
So each square is 100 meters. So like if you're looking, so if you have the mini map up and you're saying, you know, contact northwest, two guys, you can then look at your mini map, and based on the terrain on the mini map, you can kind of guess where they're at and say 200 meters. And that gives you a couple of different things. It gives you an idea of how far away they are, but it also gives you, if you have a sniper rifle or somebody on your squad has a sniper rifle, you can zero the scope. So you can page up, page down to change the range that it's zeroed for, so that you don't have to account for drop and fall of the bullet.
Wow, that is next level. I've never
can get pretty intense. Yeah, that stuff took me a really long time to figure out. I mean, I'm still figuring it out.
That comes from the Arma DayZ background. Like that's where that sort of absurdly complex gun stuff is.
What's cool is like it's one of those things that you really don't have to worry about too much. Like
yeah, absolutely not.
You can totally play the game and not even worry about the zeroing of your weapon and knowing like exactly how somebody is far away, you know, how far away they are. But if you watch some streamers, like it's kind of insane. Some of the pros that play this game, like they don't use those things too often, but once in a while they do, and it's like just at the right moment, and you know, they ping somebody from just like a ridiculously far distance and on their first shot, right? And all they did was just like they kind of looked at their map real quick, they knew where the guy was, paged up a few times, pop, you know, headshot. It's like from crazy far away. It's mind blowing sometimes how good people
can be. That's awesome, because it's like the more effort you put into learning the system, the more effort you put into learning, you know, like mechanics that are based on like real life mechanics, right? Like then the reward is there. Like you have the chance of actually pulling that off, and therefore there's growth to the game.
Yeah, big time.
Then what is this game is currently still in early access. It's going to eventually be released for consoles. It's going to be on Xbox, and then they said eventually the PS4. What is the 1.0 of this game? Klein and I were talking about this earlier. What happens when it hits 1.0? What will that feel like for you?
Yeah, like we were saying, I'm not sure the game will last that long for me. I hope it does. I mean, nothing about its trajectory so far has said that I'm going to drop off of playing, maybe other than when a few other games come out in the fall. But I don't know, like most of the games that have early access this early that I love this, you know, I have this much passion for, I usually end up dying off before the 1.0 drops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 1.0, like the whole thing, like early access is strange to me. I don't know. I mean, how is this not 1.0 already?
Everybody's playing the game. We're playing the game.
We're playing the game. There's millions of people playing it. Literally, it's like the second most popular game next to League of Legends on Twitch. Yeah, it's just so popular. Like, and it works. You know, sure, there's bugs once in a while, but there's bugs in every game that comes out nowadays because people ship them too early.
All the time.
So
I will say this: that has a lot. It's got a lot to go for bugs. Like that's got.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But I mean, like the game's pretty stable. I mean, I haven't had a lot of like really huge issues where it's like the game was unplayable for me.
Yeah, I get less disconnect weird network stuff with this game than like most games I buy for a console.
Yeah,
really,
seriously.
Wow,
I kind of feel the same way. I don't know, I feel like as many hours as I've put into this, I have had next to no issues, like serious issues. Sure, there's visual bugs, there's, you know, this thing was built on top of different frameworks, and so there's a lot of like weird bugs that happen there. We noticed the other day, like the screen where you ready up and all that stuff, it's actually like a web page.
You can actually go to the web page.
Yeah. it's, you know, this thing is definitely hacked together for sure. But I don't know. I love the idea of like you can still put out a game like this that is hacked together, that has all these bugs, and it can still be super successful. I mean, this game is way more fun for me than Battlefield. Right. Like, I can't stand those games. Like, and no, they've so I much policy, so much money gone into them. I've tried them a few times. This is way more fun than that. Like, yeah. I've had infinitely more fun in this than any Battlefield game.
It's amazing how much the concept is, the strength of the concept
so strong. Mm-hmm.
Is that it actually makes me just not care about the stuff that's bad about the game, right? Like,
I don't care about the graphics. I don't care about the little visual bugs that happen. I don't care about, you know, whatever. Even once in a while when it's like I'm shooting somebody and it feels like it should have hit them. Like, that actually does not happen very often at all. But, you know, from time to time you have some server issues, whatever. But I forgive all that because the concept of the game is so strong in my mind, and playing with friends just makes it infinitely more fun. So
I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that like I said earlier, there's no investment in the character. Like, if the game goes poor or you have a bug and you get shot and oh that sucks, and you'll complain about it or be sour for like a minute and then back into it.
Yeah, totally. It's like a roguelike for that, like in that way for me. You know, where there's other games where I have a character and it's like my character and I, you know, care about this character and there's a storyline and all these things. Like, this doesn't have that. this is an yeah. arcade shooter, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a blast.
When I've been playing the game, sometimes I get this like childlike feeling of just playing tag. Like it's so simple like that, but it's yeah. like you can play it different ways. Like I remember when I was a kid and I'd play tag, it's like, I don't know, I was always trying to think of like a new way to play tag. And I feel like that is really similar to the way I approach this game. Like some days I'm like, I'm gonna try to be aggressive today. Today I'm gonna be like kind of stealthy or whatever. Like today I wanna like barely loot, but try to get a kill early on so I can like steal their loot. Like I just try yeah. to like, yeah, it's great.
I'm gonna try to just back up my teammates today. I'm not gonna be the one out there shooting first. I'm gonna try to just like, you know, help give directions, or like, I'm gonna just watch the circles constantly, right? Because there's all these roles you can do within the game, and they don't do this thing that other, like this sin, I feel like, that other games do, where they're like, pick your class and now right. you can only do that thing. It's like, no, we're all the exact same. But if you want to be really successful at the game, you probably need like to designate a person, or at least like somebody needs to take on these different roles, right? Like right. somebody needs to be watching yeah. the circle at all times. Somebody needs to be watching for red zones. Somebody needs to be listening for people. Somebody needs to be taking shots early. You know, somebody needs, it's just like there's all these different roles that you can take on, but they don't force you into any of them, right? And you can play, everybody can play exactly how they want to play.
The classes develop organically, right? Yep. So like when I play yeah. with you guys, you're like a little more aggressive, so I know like, oh, okay, like I'm playing with like the aggressive guys and I'm gonna like I have to fill a role there. But like sometimes when I'm with a different group, I like to be sort of like a more of like the navigator or like the person driving around. I like yep. to be coordinating, like the coach, you know, like that's
yeah,
the,
yeah totally.
It's fun.
Definitely being the leader, just telling everybody where you want to go, you know, I think that's like, yeah, that's a huge role too. And sometimes you switch between them in game. That's what's yeah. That's what's so great, right? It's like if your coach dies, if your leader dies, then somebody else has to step up real quick and say, no, we're going over here, or, you know,
take
whatever,
all the leader stuff and then step up.
Yeah, take all their stuff first, you know, and then you have your, like your medic, right? You got the person that's kind of picked up all the meds along the way and they have to divvy them out to people. Mm-hmm. Like that part of it is so fun to me. And I love that you're not forced into a role. I think that's yeah. super, super fun. And agreed. You can figure yeah. it out each game on the fly, which then, can be tough, but also super fun.
When you do go down, the game like could theoretically be super boring at that point. But I find spectating also to be pretty engaging.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons it's such a successful streaming game is yeah. because mm-hmm. it's fun to watch.
Yep. And not only are you, you know, when you die, sure, you're out of the game, but there's this other role, which is then you do become like the team coach out, you know, you're this outside yeah. figure looking in. You can't manipulate the screen in a lot of ways like you could before. You can't look around to people's left and right for them, but you can still glance at the map, which is yeah. cool. And you can just, you know, let people, I mean, obviously you can still hear what's going on. You can switch between players. I think one of the most helpful things you can do when you've died in a game but your team's still alive is to, you know, watch a player, and when they're trying to describe something to somebody and they just aren't getting it, is to swap over to them, you know, and say, hey, look, it's right here. Like, let me yeah. tell you where it is, right? Because now I know exactly where it is and I can look at your screen and tell you, hey, you need to look to your left or you need to look to your right.
Yeah.
And often it's like end game and battle and people are like engaged in battle and really focused. But like, I love totally. Giving audio cues like, yo, the blue zone just kicked in. It's coming for
yeah.
you. You know, like yeah. helping out yeah. in those ways feels like you're still really participating in the game.
Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. When you're dead, it's you're definitely not out of the game. You're still like on that team helping them try to get to victory.
To borrow a phrase from popular media, you become the guy in the chair.
Exactly.
So I was thinking about it, and the thing that will make this game 1.0, and I say this tentatively because it is a dynamic shift of the game. I know they're going to add climbing and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, that vaulting system looks fantastic. I need that.
Yeah, they've done a bunch of work on the vaulting system that's supposed to come in soon, which we're right now, it's maybe one of the most frustrating maneuverability problems in the game, where
yeah,
you have all these
absolutely.
Cool things you can do, crouch and prone, but you try to jump over a fence that is clearly low enough for you to jump over and you get stuck on it. And it's just right. so frustrating. So being able to kind of do some parkour movement will greatly improve the mobility of the game, I think, and alleviate a lot of the frustrations that you have just getting around the map.
But it won't be done until there are trip mines.
I want this too. I'm so into this. I want some type of, like, you have grenades right now and you have flash bangs, which I hardly ever use, and you have smokes, which sometimes can be useful. But
claymores or trip mines. Yeah.
Imagine cool. getting the care package and it's like one trip mine in there, right? So you go to the center of the map, you take a house, you put it in one door, everybody like else watches another door. Like all of a sudden you have like a situation, right? Like
here's what you would do, though. Here's what you would really do, wouldn't you? You would take it out of the care package and place
it right
in
front of
the care
package.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, see?
That next person comes to check out that care package, they just can't help it. And kaboom. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they probably didn't include that only because it does give you unfair feeling deaths.
And, Oh yeah.
Like if you could like actually like basically take a building and make it so people can't get in, that's a major problem. So
yeah. So what do you guys, have you looked at the new maps at all, or what they're purporting to be the new maps? The desert themed map that he tweeted about, I think.
Yeah. I haven't looked at them. Yeah, I know there are two maps in development, I think, that they said they're going to add at the same time, I think. But
one's a desert and one is sea based, I think.
Crazy.
Or like snowfall, I think.
Okay. Like I haven't seen them. I really, you know, people early on kind of said, oh, wait, there's only one map. It's the first thing you notice after you play a few times. I mean, some people don't notice that. Charlie, it may have been you. I think
it was.
I think we were playing a few times and like literally into our 10th game or something, you were like, so which map is this? And I was like, oh, we're playing the same map.
And I was under the assumption that the map was procedurally generated every time.
Right.
And then I was like, wait, we've been here before. And you're like,
yeah, it's always the same.
But it's so big that like I had not seen repetition yet of it, so
totally
I just assumed that it was just like randomly being generated.
That makes sense. Totally. Yeah, no, yeah. It's an interesting thing where they just launch with one map, but I like that so much, in that like you do get to know the
map
so well. Yeah, and it's great
and it's big enough so well that it's never a trouble. Like that's the thing I'm concerned about, I guess, is how well these next two maps they put out, how well they balance with those two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, feasibly, they're taking a long time to put them out because they've said they're still months off, even though they're showing some pretty finished screenshots off on Twitter.
Cool.
But I think it'll be fun. It'll add a different take on things, like the desert theme and the snow theme, because right now, I wonder how that changes gear wise, because right now we've got kind of urban camouflage sort of stuff going on. I also don't know what you find in the desert or what you would find in a snowed over place. Like,
I didn't even think about different types of loot, but yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea. I feel like this map is so good that it's hard for me to conceive another map that would be as good even as this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm unable to imagine a better future.
Yeah. I'm with you. I like this place. And it's cool that everybody knows it at this point, right? Like everybody we play with has a pretty good idea of all the different cities and, you know, hey, let's go to the mountain. Like you know these landmarks. And so when these new maps come out, it's going to be kind of like, oh no, we have to all learn it again. Like everybody needs to play these maps so that we all, you know what we're talking about when we start playing together again.
Yeah, I think the game will take longer to get comfortable with, actually, if you're getting rotated through maps because...
Definitely. Especially if you're coming in fresh. And If you're a brand new player, to have three maps to handle. Yeah, no, thank you.
Yep. No, I think it's been really good that there was just one map. A lot. That was, like I said, that was a big complaint I heard from other people, like just online and stuff. Oh, there's only one map. I'm like, yeah, it's great. Like, play the game.
It's
amazing.
It's beneficial.
You don't want more than one map. It's too much to learn. Like, there's so much to like learn. There's all these places to go. Like, there's still places in the map I've never been to, and I have over 200 hours in the game. You know, and they're houses I've never been to before. So it's pretty nuts.
Just want to point out there, he said he's got over 200 hours, which does make me correct in that he's got more than me.
Yeah, a little over 200. I don't know exactly.
Thank you for pointing that out specifically. Okay, so they got to fix the UI. I mean, it's like it's barely a problem, actually, because you can still start the game and get it going and you don't get into bad situations, but come on, that initial moment could be better. I think basically the in-game UI is right on. Like, we didn't actually talk about the menu system too much for dragging and dropping the equipment or like managing it, but I think across the board it's like it doesn't get in the way.
No, not necessarily.
Of note though, they did recently like send out a massive like public poll as to whether they should dial back some of the thing or to dial back the things available on the screen.
Mm.
So like the poll was was option A, which is without having to open the inventory, players should be able to check the availability and quantity of consumable items and grenades through the game, through the in-game UI. So like without having to go in a menu, a little bit more like Call of Duty. And then the other option is the standard way that they're doing it now, where it doesn't have that information there available to you.
Right.
And overwhelmingly, people chose the as it is now thing rather than going with the, which I was, I mean, that's what I wanted, but I'm also surprised that they chose that because, you know, I figure most of the people at this point, when there's 4 million in sales, most of the people are coming from more popular titles like Call of Duty, Battlefield.
What I like about right now is that it's like when you're actually just looking around, it's a very focused thing. You're just looking. It's sort of like Breath of the Wild vibe, where it's like there's very little UI on the screen and you're just looking. And that's what feels really engaging about it. And like you, sometimes I switch to see if I have any grenades. Like, you know, it's like
only once in a while. I think, not having a ton of stuff on screen, a ton of user interface is great. I mean, this game is very much, when you get down to it, like, and you're out there running around and looking for people, it's very much about like seeing people first and being able to shoot them quickly, or, you know that they're coming up on you so you can wait for them and shoot when they get close. And I don't know, they have a really good balance between like, oh, I have all this inventory, I have this backpack on me that has all this stuff in it, and I need to have access to all that stuff quickly, by having that one tab button that you just press really quickly, an overlay comes up, it shows you what's there, you can still kind of see through the overlay a little bit, and then you can just tab out of it really quickly. And once you get to know what the UI looks like and what items look like and things like that, it's like a pretty quick transition between those two things.
Okay, I think we've talked about enough. I want to play. You guys have anything else you want to add right now?
No, I'm good. Let's play.
Battlegrounds is awesome. It's only $30 on Steam. If you haven't played, $30 is like, insane. Just get it. Just buy it.
It's $30.
Went for the straight up advertisement for it at the end. That's a clear.
I feel like there's so many people that, you know, maybe this game doesn't look like it's the game for you, but if you've played a shooter in the past and you like shooters at all, this is an interesting one to play, and it's a game type that you've probably never played before in any other shooter, and it's one that I think we're definitely going to see make its way into other games that, you know, maybe haven't ever had anything like this before.
Right.
You know, maybe
I want to see
Call
the
of Duty
next, like,
has this.
Yeah,
right?
I want to see the next Call of Duty or like
Battlefield.
I want Battlefield to like learn from this, because this is exciting gameplay, right? That's something else I was going to say. Oh, fuck it. Okay, cool. We're done. Thank you very much for coming on the show, both of you. I appreciate it. But now we have more important work to do.
Anybody want dinner tonight?
Let's get some chicken dinner.
Chicken dinner.
Okay. Thanks for listening to this episode of Games UX. You can follow along on Twitter at @games_UX or subscribe via your favorite podcasting app. If you like the show, share it with a friend. Thanks a lot. Cheers.